right, it is the Lombardi Line as we welcome you in. I'm Patrick Maher, live from the VSiN studios here at the South Point. We say good morning. A championship Sunday coming up tomorrow. Don't worry, we're going to be here today. We're going to be here tomorrow. Right now, currently, Green Bay lane 3.5, Kansas City lane 3. We head out to the Borgata and say, what's up to my butt? Now, I'm concerned. Thoughts and prayers. He is cold. You see him rubbing his hands together. It's chilly. I'm just saying.
Stephanie.
Good morning.
It is a little chilly here on the East Coast. Not here at the Borgata. Good morning, Patrick. Happy weekend. Championship weekend. I was talking to Thomas Gable before the show started as we huddled around the fire here to stay warm. And that line's going to go to 4. At Green Bay, 3.5 to 4. He's got it juiced at 3.5. We think it'll go to 4 before we sign off today. So a lot of money coming in on Green Bay, which is interesting.
Okay.
You know, this is such a great weekend.
Please.
Such a great weekend. And today gives us, today's going to be really, I think, the time to analyze the line movement as it goes into tomorrow.
I got issues with you.
Oh, there you go. You got it at 4 there. There it is.
Yep. We and mostly 3.5s, but we got it 4 here at the South Point, our official number.
Now, the South Point, so fans understand, the South Point doesn't juice, which means they don't change the VIG, which is always 110.
Right.
Some other books will change it to 120 if it's 3.5 at 120 because they don't want to move it quite yet. Gable's at 3.5 at 120. That's why he thinks it's going to go to 4.
That's a tremendous job by you. I'm looking bet MGM right now. So remember, standard juice, vigorous. The tax you're going to pay on a bet is 110. Right now, bet MGM has 3.5 with Green Bay laying it at minus 120. The wind's blowing up. The wind's blowing towards 4. Quickly, we're going to get to Ron, and then I want to come back. I got major issues with you. You tried to sneak it in at the end of the show, the sandbagging with the Philadelphia 76ers. My friend, you're going to have some issues this year because that's an MVP and Chubby, and this team is rolling. Another win, 122-110 last night over the Celtics, and they were awesome.
I thought Simmons the last two games has been sensational. Everybody critiques him in terms of how many shot attempts he makes, but what he does in terms of making everyone else better obviously has helped this team. And that was an impressive stretch. As you know, the game got close in the fourth quarter, and Simmons made a defensive play, got to the rim, got an N1, and then he just kind of took over the game in his style and his way. Brad Stevens is upset about the defensive end on the Boston Celtics, which is understandable. But they have spacing now, something they did not have last year.
Let's come back and discuss it, Michael. Got plenty to do. 2 hours here on the Lombardi Line. First, here's our buddy Ron Flatter with an action update.
Patrick, Michael. It is Patrick Mahomes sounding good to go tomorrow after injuries to head and toe. The Kansas City Chiefs remaining 3-point favorites to beat Buffalo in the AFC Championship. But most books here in Nevada are adding juice to lay the points, going from the standard 10 cents to as much as 20 and even 25. And one shop has taken the spread to Kansas City minus 3.5 at even money. The total is 54. Some places have added the hook. Light wind with a chance of rain before and after the game tomorrow at Arrowhead. Tomorrow starts with the NFC title game at Green Bay, where the government has issued a winter weather advisory. An inch of snow forecast with light wind for the Packers and Buccaneers. That's on top of the 2 inches coming tonight. Tampa Bay gets nose tackle Vita Vea back from his broken ankle early this season, but it's Rodgers and Green Bay who are favored by 3.5 or 4 over Brady and the Bucs. The over-under, 52, give or take a half point. In the coaching drama that will never end at Houston, the Texans say they have interviewed ex-Lions and Colts coach Jim Caldwell and current quarterback Josh McCown for the job. That's on top of Chiefs offensive coordinator Eric Bieniemy, Colts defensive coordinator Matt Eberflus, Ravens assistant coach David Culley, and Bills defensive coordinator Leslie Frazier. That's, of course, talking about Houston, not the Buccaneers and the Packers. The NFL is moving toward its grand finale. VSiN betting experts have every angle covered and every sport, too. All sports, tracking the NBA, college hoops, horse racing, soccer, hockey, and tennis. Plus new shows like The Nuts with Mike Palm and Amal Shah. That's going to be starting Monday at 2 o'clock Eastern, 11 Pacific time. Get best bet emails every day, 24/7 video, and point spread weekly. Start your free trial at vsin.com/subscribe. This is VSiN, the sports betting network.
Party Line as we welcome you in this 23rd of January 2021. I'm Patrick Maher, live from the VEASAN studios here at the South Point. Michael Lombardi hanging out. It's chilly there in Jersey at the Borgata. Okay, we've got plenty to do. Over 100 games college hoops, 7 in the association, 5 on the ice. We've got Championship Sunday coming up tomorrow. I don't want to get into the games quite yet, Michael, but I do want to throw a couple things at you. One, we heard Ron there. Patrick Mahomes, he's going to play. Okay, so there's no issues there. I do think there's layers underneath Mahomes that we have to attack when it comes to the Chiefs. One is Edwards-Helaire. Remember, week 6, when Kansas City went to Buffalo and beat the Bills, Edwards-Helaire went nuts, 161 yards on the ground. That's key, specifically with the injury to Mahomes. He is questionable. Looks like he's going to play. He's been getting reps. Watkins, also questionable, been getting reps. And then Breland, the starting cornerback. Those are three big players for the Chiefs that we got to pay attention to.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, last time they played, Patrick, you know, Helaire had 26 rushing attempts, which is as many passing attempts as Patrick Mahomes had. So
balance.
That's significant. That is significant because you're putting the ball in Helaire's hands as often as you are putting it in Mahomes. And what Buffalo really said to Kansas City in that game, a kind of a weird game, you know, remember we had the COVID, it was back. This was the two-game losing streak that the Bills were on. The Bills' philosophy in this game was, and it came from McDermott, they basically said to Andy Reid, you'll never run the ball the whole game. We're going to line up in this nickel front. We dare you to run the football. And he did. He ran it 46 times in the game. Think about that. 46 times. Wow. Mahomes carried it 10 times in the game. I don't think Mahomes will carry it 10 times this weekend. I don't think he can carry it 10 times with the toe and the threat of a concussion. That's got to scare you as a Chief fan. So the 46 rushing attempts was by far the most that they'll ever have because they dared them into running. And Andy Reid looked at the across the field and said, I'm going to keep running it until you stop it. They averaged 5.3 a carry. So I think that's really what we are. And then when you break it down, they were 9 for 14 on third down. The Bills never had the football in this game, and their offense couldn't carry them in this game. They had the worst offensive performance all season up until that Baltimore game last weekend. So the challenge is out there. If you can hold the Chiefs to 26 points, you got a chance to win. You just got to have the ball more than you had at 20 minutes in the game.
Yep, they held, of course, the Chiefs held Buffalo to 17 points. They were coming off only scoring 16 to Tennessee, so that was the worst stretch of the year for Buffalo. And Kansas City, remember that it was dark. It was a standalone game in Buffalo, no fans, Orchard Park. And Kansas City really controlled that game. I'm glad you brought it up as much as they ran the ball. Edwards-Helaire, my guess is, it's a little bit like you with the 76ers. They're low-key in it. My guess is Watkins and Edwards-Helaire will play. I don't know if Edwards-Helaire is going to be 100%. Breland also maybe a little under the radar. Listen, fifth in attempts as far as passing attempts was Josh Allen this year. He's going to throw the football, and Breland's a big miss if he's out for the Chiefs.
Well, they've got good matchups across the board, right? I mean, I think the Chiefs feel like they really are going to need Breland because somebody's got to handle Diggs. Diggs averaged 7.7 yards a catch last time they played him. He had 6 receptions in the game. They didn't give up a big play. And we know Buffalo doesn't want to run the football. I mean, in this game, really, in this game, when you break this game down, the three best teams in terms of rushes and completion, which is execution, are the Bills, the Chiefs, and the Packers. The Bucs are well below this. The Bucs are below the normal number in rushes and completions for any playoff team. That number's at 51. The Bucs are at 46. These other teams in the playoffs are above 51. So the execution for Tampa is different. Buffalo must execute in this game. They must. Their balance isn't in they have to hand the ball off. Their balance is they've got to catch the ball in the flat, utilize their passing game as part of their running game, and really, really milk the clock. Really milk the clock. Now, here's the key. Time of possession is meaningless. It's what you do with the football that counts the most. And I think we learned this. I mean, the last time the Chiefs lost, this is remarkable. This is one of the most remarkable stats I'll ever give out. The Chiefs, when they lost to the Patriots had the ball 43 minutes in the game. The Chiefs, in the fourth quarter, only held the ball for 3 minutes and 31 seconds, and yet they scored 24 points.
Wow.
Think about that, Patrick. They had the ball for 3:31 and scored 24 points and got the game into overtime.
Yeah.
They got the game into overtime from there, and they lost it in overtime. The Patriots played the most perfect game you can play and still had to go into overtime to win the game. And that's what it's going to take for the Buffalo Bills. They got to play a perfect game. Can't punt in the second half. No punts in the second half. We'll punt in the first. If we have 2 or more punts in this game, we lose.
Now, you mentioned the balance. Zach Moss is out. He's undergoing the ankle surgery, so it's just going to be Singletary.
No, it's just not going to be Singletary. This is a game Josh Allen's going to run the ball.
Okay, fair.
Let's not forget that. This is a game. I don't know what the prop is for Josh Allen rushing attempts, but if it's 7, 7.5,
we'll
I think
it
it's somewhere. Let's dig it up. I think that's an overplay right there. Okay. I think Brian Daboll has to run Josh Allen in this game. Hey, look, you know, as Belichick would often tell the team, look, there's nothing to hold back for. This is it. This is 80, 70 of our best plays that we can possibly run. 70 of our best plays we can possibly run. 12.5 is the longest rush. I'd go over that, right?
Okay.
Why? Why would I go over 12.5 on the longest rush? Here's why. Because they're going to be a man game. And they're going to pretend that they can spy on Allen. You really can't spy on Allen. He has got to run the football in this game.
And then you see 31.5, Michael, for his total rush, total Josh Allen.
I like that over, too. I think he's got to be a significant ball carrier in this game, Patrick. He's got to be able to defeat. He's going to have to convert at least 2 first downs with his feet. At least 2 first downs with his feet. And what does he care? Look, we're not playing. We're not. Why are we hold back anything? I would suspect Daboll's got quarterback runs in this game for him, whether it's quarterback power, whether it's quarterback draw. He's going to have multiple quarterback runs for him in this game. He has to. He's his best ball carry. He's his best player. Last time he played, he had 8 touches and 27 passing attempts. So he had the ball basically 35 times of their plays. The ball was in his hands. It needs to be more than that.
Steph, grab me the, as far as a prop, I'm sure we have it here, as far as receiving yards for Diggs from BetMGM. I just want to make sure I get the updated number. I'm sure we have it. Now, remember, the Bills went for 220 against the Ravens. Diggs had 106 of that. He had 8 receptions. There you see it, Michael. Thank you, Stephanie. Receiving yards player props coming up tomorrow. Diggs set at 98.5. Kelsey's 96.5. Tyreek's 76.5. Any of those three jump out at you? Diggs has been unbelievable for the Bills.
Yeah, I like Cole Beasley over 47.5. Okay. I like Knox to be over 23.5, too. I think those two guys have to come up big. I think Kelsey always is going to get his yards. I think Tyreek Hill, you got to do a good job on him. You can't let him out the door. You got to play him high-low. You've got to jam him at the line and have help on top and handle all those over routes that he runs. McDermott's a really good game planner. I know Leslie Frazier is the defensive coordinator, and he's up for the Houston Texans job. And I'm not minimizing what he does in terms of running the defense. But the defensive philosophy, the game plan, it comes through McDermott. Not saying it doesn't come from Frazier, but it comes from McDermott's part of this. And the Jim Johnson school of defense, I think you're going to see. They can't really rush the passer, which I'm not sure will be a bother. They got to keep Mahomes in front of them. And we know Mahomes ran the ball 10 times in the last game. But in this game, I don't think Mahomes can run the ball 10 times, Patrick. I would hold my breath every time he runs the ball because I would be afraid he's going to get hit. And if he gets up a little wobbly, they're going to send him off to the field. They know he had a concussion. Like, they know it. And so all eyes will be on them.
Microscope. Now, for the new bettors and new states, of course, Michigan went legal yesterday. Virginia, we welcome you here. It is the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. It's VSiN, the sports betting network. Now, when we say teams are winning, but they're not covering the spread, that's important as a bettor. Understand this. Kansas City, Michael, has won 24 of their last 26 games straight up. Think about that. Now, they haven't beaten their last 9 opponents by more than 6 points. And there's a reason for it. They're not scoring in the red zone. They're settling for 3.
Right.
They're settling for 3, Michael. That is going to kill you as a bettor. That's something to focus on. Red zone offense and red zone defense. Michael, they just haven't been getting it done in the red zone, the Chiefs.
No doubt. And here's where the layers, you talked about this to open the show. There's layers to the Mahomes injury, right? And Mahomes' ability in the red zone to create separation within the defense. That's really what happens. You know, often you don't see a quarterback drop out of shotgun, drop back, and then throw the ball into the end zone for a touchdown. It's usually some form of deception that scores in the red zone. Play action, you fake a hard handoff, guys open, right? Or you separate the defense by your movement. You start to move around a little bit, right or left, laterally, and then the defense has to kind of glue on to people, and you make the play. And I think that movement, he's got to have that movement, and he didn't. And if he doesn't have it, if he doesn't have it in this game and he's not able to really push and move off of it, that can be a real problem. Red zone points, Patrick, red zone points per game this year. Buffalo 15-4-4, Kansas City 13-5-7. There's a 2-point difference in that area. Oh. You know, Green Bay, here's important now. Green Bay 17 points in the red zone. Tampa Bay 13-4. Significant. Now you say, well, it's only 4 points. No, when you're down there, that's significant. That's truly the difference in the game.
Great job, because I wanted to transition. We're talking about red zone efficiency. Well, Green Bay was the best in football, and you take a look at a couple other things here. Kind of similar. Remember, week six, these two teams played each other successively. So you're looking at the AFC. Those two teams played each other when Kansas City went to Buffalo and beat them. Tampa Bay beat up on Green Bay. It was the worst performance by Green Bay. Rodgers just had 160 yards passing, 2 picks. But one thing that Tampa Bay did in that game, similar to what Kansas City did against Buffalo, Michael, is there was balance. They passed for 166 yards against the Packers in week six, and they ran for 158 yards. That is going to be key here as well. Turnovers are going to be the story with this Tampa Bay team as well. They got to take it over.
That's the whole story, right? I mean, Brady threw for 166. I mean, it's a 10-0 game. And the Packers have the ball. And it's a third down. Now, I don't think they're in control of the game at 10-0. The Packers were having a hard time blocking the rush. Rodgers had to move around in the pocket to make plays. They couldn't run the ball. Aaron Jones, 10 carries, 15 yards. They kept trying to run the ball wide on Tampa Bay. I don't know why they were doing that. Like, I think if you're going to try to take on, you got to block Devin White and you got to run downhill against the Bucs defense. And you really have to throw to run. You can't run to throw. And that puts the ball in Rodgers' hands more. So he throws that out over there that Dean just sits on 3rd and 10. It's a touchdown. They come back the next drive, and they've got a 3rd down. They throw a ball to Devontae Adams. It hits his hands out of it, and then all of a sudden, Edwards intercepts it and takes it to the 2. It's 14-10, and they never got their rhythm back again. Brady didn't beat him in that game. The Bucs offense didn't beat him in that game. The Bucs ground game beat him in that game. The Bucs passing game didn't beat him in that game. So for me, you know, I thought that was the worst game Green Bay played. Todd Bowles got the better of it. But now LaFleur has time to digest and look at it. And what he wants to do, I think it'll be a big day for Devontae Adams tomorrow.
Michael, and by the way, the Bucs, they've won their last 7 road games by an average of 16 points. They're not going to be concerned about this. The weather, don't worry, I got you covered. It's going to be in the 20s. It's going to be snowy early. I think we're going to clear up as the game approaches. Now, I was doing some digging because I think this is important. Green Bay, essentially the best first half team in football. They've been outscoring their opponents by 8.5 points in the first half. Tampa Bay's been a second half team. They outscored their opponents just by 2 points in the first half. I bring that up because I'm looking right now. Green Bay is a 3-point favorite first half against Tampa. Think about that. Generally, it's going to be split a little bit more. You got a 4 on the game with the Packers favored, but offshore right now, I'm looking at Green Bay favored by 3. They've been an awesome first half team here, Michael.
Yeah, Green Bay averages 15.73 points per first in the first half. Tampa Bay averages 13.1. Significant there. Now, surprisingly, Buffalo averages 13.3 in the first half. Kansas City averages 11.6. Let's go to the first quarter. Both teams are the same. Tampa Bay's at 4.84 in the first quarter. Green Bay's 4.85. You can't, that's exactly it. Buffalo in the first quarter, 4.53. Kansas City, 4.1. Now, here's the difference in the game. Tampa Bay is an outstanding fourth quarter team. They average almost 8 Yep. points in the fourth quarter, 7.83, whereas the Packers average 5.69. Now, the fourth quarter can be a little bit deceiving in terms of how you want to play with the numbers. The Packers typically are always just trying to run the clock is more their opponent in the fourth That's quarter right. than the actual the opponent. And it's the same thing with Kansas City. Although Kansas City averages 7.78 yards points in the fourth quarter. This Buffalo Bills team is somewhat remarkable. They average 8.1. They're the best fourth quarter team in the Final Four. The best fourth quarter team in the Final Four. They keep trying to score. Why do they do that? Because they have no run game. They have to keep putting the ball in Josh Allen's hands, so they keep throwing it, and they make plays.
Very important to note, Rodgers over his last 7, 21 touchdowns, just 1 pick. Here's the deal with Green Bay. They're 11-0 this year when they don't turn the football over. They're 3-3 when they turn it over at least once. That's going to be the key. Remember, Michael, the reason Tampa Bay beat New Orleans is because they took it over four times. Yeah.
All turnovers. And that's the question us as bettors must ask ourselves, right? We know the line's going to be at 4. And we also know that there's a probability that whoever wins covers, right? So really, this is not as much about where the line is. because typically that's not the case in the divisional round. It's who's going to win the game. And you ask yourself this question, who will protect the ball better? Brady, who's very good at protecting the ball, but maybe not so much in Bruce Arians' offense, or Rodgers, who only really had one game where he didn't protect the football. That's the fundamental question you have to make before you go to the window and make a bet.
It's the football playoffs, Michael. It's basketball. It's hockey, of course, and you can get it all at BetMGM. Your favorite wagering options, you go in-game, boosted odds, specials, much more. You can download the app today. It's very simple. Also, if you're here in Vegas, stop by any MGM casino on the strip, bring your state-issued ID, and within minutes, you're going to be betting, okay? Whatever your style, you're going to love it over at BetMGM. Fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years or older, physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. You got a gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. Steph's here, his book's here. We got Ty here. We got the whole crew. We've got over 100 games in college basketball, 7 in the association, 5 on the ice. Josh Applebaum, the mayor, and of course, Mr. Lombardi. We're coming back here on a Saturday. It's BSIN. It's the Sports Betting Network. Major horse race of 2021 today, the Pegasus World Cup, and VSiN and First Bet are teaming up for expanded coverage plus an exclusive offer for VSiN fans. Okay, so here it is. First Bet is offering a risk-free $20 bet to use to today's race. I love it. Gulfstream, great course down near Miami. Go to VSiN.com/horses for details. VSiN.com/horses. You're also going to find the best bets from VSiN and First Bet experts, including Brent Musburger, Jeff Siegel, and Dave Tooley. That's VSiN.com/horses. Sign up now for a completely risk-free $20 wager to bet on today's Pegasus World Cup. We welcome you back. Happy Saturday. It is the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. I'm Patrick Maher, live from the VSiN studios here at the South Point. Michael, quickly on this.
Hey, Patrick.
Yeah, please.
I wanted to ask you. I guess my mic was off and I was screaming for you there.
Yes.
You love the ponies more than anybody. I think we would be cheating the listening audience if we didn't get your take on the Pegasus, on what you like and how you're going to play it, the trifecta, you know, what horses you're going to pair. You know, we had Eddie Olczyk on yesterday. He was giving us some tips. I really like to know where you're going in this direction.
Knicks go.
Because I know you've already made bets because you can't help yourself.
And then also, well, I'll just shout out to Ron Flatter right now if he's listening. When you get your update, we'll get, of course, to Ron Flatter Racing Pod, who does a great job for us at VSiN. We want your picks as well. There you see it. Thank you for asking, Michael. Knicks go 5-2 morning line. You brought up Code of Honor, the Shug McGahee horse. That horse I've been following for years. And the reason I like Code, it's the little horse that could and can and continues to. I mean, he just visually, aesthetically looks so much different. I'll say this. Knicks Go is going to be the speed. That's going to be the horse that gets out there. Tax is a very fast horse. Your second betting favorite at 5-1. Look for, you see down there, 20-1 Last Judgment. A very, very fast horse has to be included in your tries, in your exactas. Last Judgment at 20-1 has to be in the mix. Knicks Go is the right favorite at 5-2. Code of Honor is going to be in the mix, and Last Judgment will round out my try at 20-1. Thank you, my friend. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. But I think fans need to understand, this is the 5-year-old. This is horses that, this isn't 3-year-olds. It's the horses are older. There have been some time.
Mature.
I mean, Code of Honor was in the Kentucky Derby. You know, we talked about that. But it's also, this is a speed race. This is a race that requires speed. Obviously, all races require speed.
Yeah, mile and an eighth. Yep, 100%.
Right? But it's really about the pace and the speed of the race here.
Yep, and that's why Knicks Go is a fast horse. Won its last three. Last time we saw, won the mile dirt at the Breeders' Cup. switched trainers to Brad Cox beginning of last year and has been on a roll. Very fast horse. And you're right with Gulfstream. Speed also generally inside wins at Gulfstream. So those horses on the outside, Math Wizard, Independence Hall, Last Judgment, who I just gave you, they're up against it. But I do like Last Judgment because, as Michael said, speed course, and that's a very fast horse at 20-1. Now, I wanted to ask you, because this is something we're the Bucks haven't played in under 40 degree weather all year. And so There's some questions about this. But Brady, think about it this way. 12 of Brady's 13 AFC championship appearances, Foxborough, Pittsburgh, Kansas City, or Denver. He's not concerned about the cold.
No, I mean, he lives for it. I mean, he loves it. I mean, it's like anytime I walk my two dogs, they love the colder the better,
yes.
Right? You know, and so the colder the better for Brady. And how is this going to affect Mike Evans? Don't think it'll affect him at all. The offensive linemen, those guys typically don't get affected. I don't think weather's going to really affect anybody but the kicker. But the kicker, because it's hard to practice kicking cold balls, and the balls get much colder as the game goes on. So for me, I think it's really about the special teams here, not about how Brady will execute with the cold football. It's the same thing with Buffalo and Kansas City. I mean, both teams go outside. Both teams understand how to deal with the elements. I think this is a game where once you get rocking and rolling and your body heats up, this won't be Jared Goff trying to get a reservation in front of the heater.
Yeah, we saw Justin Tucker, one of the all-time greats, affected by the weather last week.
That was all wind-related. Brian Hamilton said this today before we came on the air. If there was a game today on the East Coast in the Meadowlands or somewhere, this wind today is prevailing. I mean, I know your Doppler is in tune to it because there's no games here, but this wind is really prevailing. And obviously, that's what we have to check before kickoff because the winds change at Lambeau. It is a little bit more difficult. The shoes. Everybody talks about the shoes. You know, in The Sopranos, it was the jacket. At Green Bay Lambeau, it's the shoes. The shoes are really important. You've got to have the deep spikes to play up there. If you start to slip and you see Bucks players slip, go to your MGM app.
Well, it may be chilly in Jersey, maybe chilly at Lambeau, but that jacket Michael's wearing is as blue as the ocean and as blue as the sky. So we love that.
Won't give up.
We appreciate
Steph, won't
it.
Give up.
Hey, I get on something, I stick on it. I get obsessed.
Yeah, obviously.
We're coming back with Josh, the mayor, and everybody else here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. VSiN All Access member right now. All right, you get all of our expert VSiN betting analysis for NFL Conference Championship Weekend. You get every sport in action. Remember, you got MMA. It's all going to be in there for less than $22 a month. Receive daily emails with our best bets from guests and hosts, 24/7 video access, our point spread weekly betting guides. It's everything you need to increase your sports betting IQ. Start your free trial right now at vsin.com/subscribe. Okay, we're going to welcome Josh in as we welcome you in, and we say good morning to you. Hope you're doing well on this Saturday, right before Championship Sunday. Michael, one thing that we do know is professional handicappers, they take pride in a few things. One, betting dogs, but two, beating the closing number. Josh is shaking his head. He knows. But I think professional sports bettors care more about beating the closing number than they do about winning a bet. I digress. I bring it up because I want to make sure that the public understands it's okay to bet the favorites this weekend, because those numbers, it's not six, it's not 6.5, 3-1, 4-the-other. And if I were to ask you right now, Michael, who are the best two teams remaining this Sunday? Who are they? Is it Kansas City and Green Bay with a bullet?
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, there's
so it's okay to bet the favorites.
Yeah, I mean, look, these are typically pick'em games. I mean, I know the weather always plays into the line, and certainly the home field. But I think this round is about quarterbacks. What quarterback do you have the most faith in to deliver in the clutch and win games? I think that's really comes down to. And we have four really good quarterbacks in this game. And so you've got to make your pick. Which quarterback is playing the best and which will continue? I think that's why a lot of people think there could be an upset with Buffalo based on the way Josh Allen has played this season, the way he's improved over the season with his accuracy and with his elite run skills in terms of the power that he can run with. And then when you look at the Bucs, you see the Bucs is a team that, you know, Brady has played well down the stretch. There's no denying it. Their offense is good. But they really haven't been as dominant at the quarterbacking position as the other three.
Did you start your morning with the daily newsletter? Did you? I'm going to ask you because it's free. You just go to vsin.com. You put your email address in, and Josh is going to wake up with you every morning. Also, Market Insights is the podcast. All our podcasts are free. Go to vsin.com/podcast. For the first time this morning, we welcome in Josh Applebaum. What's cracking, Josh? Good morning.
Good morning, Patrick. Good morning, Michael. Yeah, huge day today because obviously we got the main course tomorrow with these big NFC, AFC championship games. But Patrick, Michael, today 100-plus college hoops games. We have 7 NBA games, 5 NHL games. We're going to get to UFC later. Huge fight here, UFC 257, McGregor and Poirier. But before I throw a question to Michael, I just want to hammer home what you just said, Patrick, because that is so important. Beating the closing line. You hear a lot of talk about this. You know, in gambling terms, you'll hear like CLV, closing line value. And basically that means is comparing your bet, what you bet a number at, versus what the line closes at. And we all know in sports betting, you know, sometimes you get lucky, sometimes you don't. Sometimes you cap a game perfectly and you lose. Sometimes you put no thought into it, get lucky and you win. But really, you know, luck can come and go. But really, if you can beat the closing line consistently long term, that's going to be the mark of a successful sports bettor. So, for example, like the two games right now, and Patrick, you mentioned this because on conference championship, in conference championship games since 2010, the last decade, these favorites are 14-6 straight up. They're winning 70% of the time. Home favorites, 75% of the time they're winning. But think of it this way. If you like Green Bay and you like KC, you want to get both of them at -3. Now, we have seen some buyback here at Green Bay. This line did get down to around 3. Michael's spot on. It's now moving to 3.5. Some juice is possibly trending to 4 here. And then you look at Buffalo, Kansas City. That's -3, -120. So that looks like that's also trending to 3.5. So, you know, if you like Tampa Bay, you may want to hold out, see if you can get a 4. If not, you probably will get the hook 3.5. If you like Buffalo, you want to get the 3.5. But here's the thing, guys. You don't want to bet Green Bay and KC at -3.5 when you could have gotten the -3. So anything could happen. They could easily roll and cover, but beating the closing line, that's really going to kind of help you get through the ups and downs of betting and really put you on a path to success long term.
Yeah, I think the most important thing here, and great job, Josh, explaining the closing line value, but I think the most important thing here is if you're betting Kansas City, go ahead and bet it now. We're not going to see 2.5, so if you're getting 3, you may pay a little juice on it, but that could get the 3.5. As a matter of fact, it touched 3.5, Michael, yesterday. So for bettors, understand these numbers are and that number of 3, 3 and 7 NFL, the two key numbers. There are others, but you better bet it now because we're not going to get down to 2.5. Take the 3 and be happy with it.
I agree, Patrick. And I think really when you look at the field goal situation with Bucker, you know, I mean, he's not been very consistent. I know he made a 50-yarder in the playoffs. He's 1-for-2 inside of 30. That one killed you, and he missed an extra point. So as close as it, every half point does matter. I think you got to make sure you get the right number if you're on the side of Buffalo or the Kansas City.
And Josh, I want to follow up with you, but we're talking about covering. Steph, you got that graphic as far as the Chiefs are concerned. I said it. The Chiefs have won 24 of 26 straight up. They haven't beaten an opponent, Josh, in their last 9 by more than 6. And again, Michael explained it well. There it is. There's a graphic. It explains it perfectly. Michael explained it well with the red zone inefficiencies.
Right. But I also think, too, Patrick, I think when we look at that, let's just go the Dolphin game. That's a 30-10 game in the third quarter. That thing's ugly. The Saint game the week before, they're dominating that game, and they let the Saints come back and score, you know, in the fourth quarter. The Bucs game, they were dominating that game the whole game. I mean, Tyreek Hill had, you know, probably had 800 yards the way they were covering them, and they let him come back in. The Raider game was back. I mean, the Raiders have played them really good twice. And the Panther game, look, the Panthers have the ball with a minute. You know, they're going down there. If I think it was DJ Moore or maybe it was the other kid, I forget. Well, the receiver kind of went to the ground. If he stays up and running and goes 10 more yards before they spike it, they might kick the ball to win the game. The Panther game is one, I promise you, that the Buffalo Bills have watched a lot. The two Raider games, the Buffalo game, The two Raider games, the Panther games, are what Brian Daboll has to focus on. That's the style you're going to have to play to win.
Josh, it was sitting three when there were questions about Mahomes. The reason I said we're not falling to 2.5, you better grab it now at three, is because I can only see it going up.
Yeah, I think kind of the question mark here was, would Mahomes play? I think we all thought he probably would, but you really wanted that confirmation that he would be upgraded to probable and he's cleared the protocol. And you're right, Patrick. Some of these books were three, some even minus 2.5 openers. Now it's three, and now it's minus 120. And the graphic you just threw up, and this has been a common theme. We've talked about this Lombardi line, you know, pretty much all year. The Chiefs winning but not covering. But look at that November 29th game against the Buccaneers. 3.5-point favorite with the hook. Why is that important? Bucks end up, covering that number plus 3.5. If you like Buffalo, you're really holding out for the hook on that
one. That's the best example on the board, the 3.5 against the Bucks. The Bucks are still in action this weekend as well. When we come back with Josh, we've got some NBA. Of course, we got a ton of college hoops. We're going to save college hoops for the second hour, but we're coming back with MMA as well. Conor McGregor and Poirier, they're fighting tonight as we continue on a Saturday. It's the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. BetMGM. Sign up for a chance to win $100 when you place a $1 wager on Conor McGregor to win against Dustin Poirier. Just use the bonus code VSIN100 and get in the ring with the king to take advantage of this offer. Download the app. Make sure you bet with the bonus code VSIN100. It's paid and free bets. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. 21 years or older. Colorado, Iowa, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Nevada, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, West Virginia only. You got a gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. Colorado, Nevada, 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, West Virginia. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa, Tennessee. Call or text Redline, 800-889-9789, 1-800-9 with it in Indiana. We welcome you back on a Saturday edition ahead of Championship Sunday. I'm Patrick Maher, live from, as you see behind us there, the lining up at the book already here at the South Point. I hear it's busy there in Jersey, Michael Lombardi. I know Brian Hamilton said it's going to be a busy day there. I know UFC's popular in Jersey as well.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, still the Jersey rules are you're not allowed to serve food or alcohol after 10 o'clock. Well, the fight doesn't start till 10, and they still have a waiting list to get in there and see it at the book. So, yeah, this UFC. The fight is big here, as is most of these college basketball games. So there's a lot of action. I mean, obviously, we've seen the numbers in Jersey betting of how much people have bet, and it's only going to increase.
Great job by Josh Applebaum today, the daily newsletter. Josh is big MMA. We'll get to that in just a little bit. Quickly, a couple of NBA games. One, the Pistons were favored last night, straight up loser. Shocker. They've got three wins on the year to Houston at home. Okay, they're going to turn around and host the 76ers today. Tough spot. 76ers emotional. Two games set with the Celtics. They now travel to Detroit. And I've got a number right now. Open 8.5 with the 76ers laying it, Josh. I've got a number of 7 at the Pistons.
Yeah, Patrick, and one theme today that we're looking at is a lot of teams on back-to-backs, maybe not against the same opponent, but this would be a situation here where both these teams played yesterday. I got to give a shout-out to Michael Lombardi, your 76ers. Beat my Celtics twice in a row, covered both numbers. I don't know if we can compete without Jason Tatum, but hopefully he'll come back at some point.
Oh, stop with the excuses, yeah, Applebaum.
Yeah. No excuses.
Come on.
But this one's let's see if Michael likes his team here to roll. I mean, on the surface, you look at Detroit 3-12, awful record. They have been kind of even covering numbers. The Sixers 11-5 here, but they're going to a team that they should roll against. But this line did open around -8.5, -8. 76ers. A lot of books are down to 7. If you can still get a 7.5, that may be the hook that you're looking at here. But the Pistons played last night at home. They're not traveling. 76ers after two big game set against the Celtics got to travel. go on the road. So it looks like a, you know, an easy 76ers win here. But Michael, any apprehension, you know, back to back, the spot, the situation, or is it, you know, the Pistons are terrible and just lay the points here?
No, I think you got to be really careful here. I mean, nobody knows if Embiid's going to play. I mean, you know, he's active, but that, you know, this is typically, does he play back-to-backs? How are they going to handle the back-to-back? That means Dwight Howard. Remember, earlier in the season, they had a back-to-back. They had a nice win, and then they went to Cleveland and got smoked by the Cavaliers. So I think anything's possible. I mean, look, Detroit's 7-7 against the spread. They're in a rebuilding. I really don't know what Detroit's doing with their team. I mean, I have no idea what they're doing. I mean, one part they want to go and rebuild. The other part they want to tear down. I mean, like, I really, none of the pieces fit in Detroit.
No.
For me, it makes no sense. I mean, Blake Griffin is going to be, once the trade deadline comes, he'll get bought out. You might want to bet money to be that he'll be on the Brooklyn Nets before it's all over with once he gets bought out. But, though, for me, I think that's why the line's moving, Josh. I think it's clearly moving to Detroit because, A, I don't think Embiid will play based on past history. And this has not been a very good spot for Philadelphia. I'm not talking as a fan here. I'm talking about just watching them over the time. They have not been very good against the spread away. They're 2-3-1, and they've not been very good when they've come off a big win and have to duplicate it again.
Hey, listen, nobody's brighter than you, Applebaum, an author, cherry disposition. But trust me, when I tell you that I'm watching you, that little passive, hey, no Tatum. Listen, dude, you can smile all you want. You were trying to sneak that by Lombardi. I'm not going to let that happen.
I agree, Patrick. I mean, you know, we didn't have Tatum. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know.
Seriously.
It's low key,
you know,
too.
Didn't have Tatum. Yeah. And then, of course, they don't call fouls, you know. And
I can hear Pritchard it all crying. Hurt.
He's gone to the Will Hill School of Crying with the best of them. I mean, Will's not only teaching a class on how to be a GM, he teaches a class on how to cry. So well.
Yeah.
And complain. Let's not lose sight of that.
Course. Hopefully Tatum's available for the Chiefs tomorrow as well, Applebaum. My gosh, get over it. Sorry. Nuggets, son. They're going to run it back. This is, Michael said it yesterday. It's a good point. NBA. A lot of this, who's the better coach? Who's good with adjustments? Because it feels like these are playoff series. The Nuggets and Suns are going to run it back. Overtime last night, the Nuggets, a 130-126 winner. The Suns were a half-point favorite. We turn around. I believe the Nuggets are favored today, yes?
Yeah, Nuggets are favored tonight here too, Patrick. And this line did move a little bit to Nuggets. You know, some of these books actually open Nuggets around +1. The line is now flipped to around -2.5. And I think number one, we are seeing kind of both pro and Joe action to the Nuggets here. One thing I would mention is, you know, if you're at 2, 2.5, sometimes I like to go money line here, as we mentioned a lot. You know, if you have a 1-point win or a 2-point win and you lay the 2.5 and you lose, that's always a gut-wrenching thing. So if you're laying like -125 money line, that's something to keep an eye out for. But I think Michael brought up a great point with injuries, load management, guys resting. You know, we saw it yesterday with the Cavaliers and the Nets where, you know, we had Durant out and that line was like 9, 8, 7, and it got down to like 6.5. So I think that's a big point there with any kind of injury you see. You know, you take a shot and say, hey, will I beat the closing line? I hope so. But if a guy's out, like let's say you do take Pistons in that game before 7.5, Embiid's out, that line falls to like 5. That's something to keep an eye out for in these NBA games.
Quickly. Yeah, I mean, I think, ahead, Patrick, Michael. I mean, you know, when you watch the Suns, Anton has really played well. I mean, he's increased his game. When's Chris Paul's impact going to show up for the Suns? You know, I think what he averages like 9 points a game, right? I mean, he hasn't really been that player that we thought he would be when they made the big trade.
That's right. No, and the one thing I wanted to point out, and I apologize, Michael, but the quickly on the Houston Rockets, Dallas Mavericks, we have to very much pay attention to the logistics and the travel here. Houston ended their 3-game losing streak in Detroit last night. Now they're traveling back. They're going to take on Dallas. Dallas played, I believe it was San Antonio last night and beat them. Now they're dealing with injuries, Porzingis, we understand, but this is a horrible spot for Houston, Josh, traveling from Detroit back to Dallas. Dallas, not a big travel with San Antonio. This is just, you see the number. I wanted to highlight this one because you see a number of 9. A lot of this just has to do with spot with this, as far as the Rockets and travel.
Yeah, this is a tough spot. You're right, Patrick. So Rockets are traveling. Mavs are at home, obviously. And you also look, this line did fall a little bit toward the Rockets. This line was like -10, 10.5. The line is now down to 9 across the board. But Patrick, you make a great point here with the travel, maybe a little bit of tired situation, tired legs. I would keep an eye on this under. It opened like 219. It's kind of stayed where it's at, even though you're having heavy betting to the over. And if you look at our VSiN board right here, both these teams have been very good to the under. You have the Rockets 9-4-1, the Mavs 10-5. You think the Mavs with Doncic putting up a million points, but actually sometimes you have these high inflated numbers and going low, going under has been profitable. So you're right. Little move here to the Rockets, not a great spot for them, but do you get tired legs? Do you get an under opportunity? That's 219. If that falls 218.5, that'll kind of be the signal that you're looking for, that maybe under money is coming in.
And I brought Porzingis up because, remember, just coming back, you worry about him on these back-to-backs. Okay, and that's for new bettors as well that are just getting involved. You got to be looking situationally. That's what we're discussing, is the situation. Don't just think, oh, wait, I thought Houston. No. You got to look, where did they play? What have they been doing? Who's injured? Who's in? Who's out? It's an impossible thing to follow. We get it with COVID. That's why you got to go to VSiN.com/subscribe. We've got all the information there. Josh, MMA, let's go.
MMA, yeah, big night tonight, Patrick. Michael Lombardi, I heard you're staying up late with Millie. You're buying the pay-per-view. We're going to have a big night tonight. You got wings going.
I mean, I can't wait. I got to say something. I said it to everybody. I can't believe the condition that McGregor's in. I mean, it's really remarkable. I mean, for a guy that does whiskey commercials, and I drink, I mean, he's really remarkable. I mean, the guy said, what, he had 2% body fat? I think he looks great. I mean, it's really impressive the kind of condition he's in right now.
Michael, you're totally right. You know, we've heard a lot about how he's looking great. His trainer, his nutritionist, his coaches are saying he's in a great spot here. And this is a public play, but you have seen some respective money hit McGregor here. You know, he opened around a minus 250 favorite. The thing with McGregor, if you like him, you always want to bet him like as soon as the line opens, because he's going to become a huge, huge popular favorite. This line is now minus 250 up to like minus 340 at this point. Remember, this is McGregor Poirier number two here. They fought in 2014. McGregor knocked out Poirier and less than 2 minutes here. The thing with McGregor, you know, he wins 86% of the time by knockout or TKO. So if you like McGregor here, you know, instead of playing like a minus 340 number, you could go, Patrick and Michael, win by knockout or TKO and drop that line down to around minus 190, minus 200, get a better type of number that you're going to lay here instead of laying the, you know, the 300 plus. Also, McGregor to win by knockout in the first round. Last time he beat Cowboy Cerrone in like 40 seconds here last time he fought about a year ago. That's plus 180 to knock out Poirier in the first round. And you also have, you know, these tail of the tape, they're pretty even, both 32 years old, both 5'8". But McGregor has a big advantage with his reach, 74-inch reach, 72-inch reach here for Poirier. So really what we're seeing here, guys, we're going to have McGregor. This line probably will go up. A lot of value on the dog. But our guy Gambling Lou, who we love at VSiN, he's looking at McGregor tonight. And again, instead of laying that money line, you may want to go with that to win by TKO, knockout, or DQ, and lay the 200 or less, get a better number there.
Okay, good job, Josh. Josh is going to be back in the second. I just noticed McGregor has that tattoo like Michael on his chest. I didn't realize he had the same tattoo.
Hey, just so we'll talk to Gable here in about 40 minutes, but there's more money on Poirier here than there is on McGregor at the Borgata.
Really? In 20 seconds, Josh, does that surprise you?
Well, the dog payout is surprising. Let's see how this develops. Also, the under, guys, 2.5 rounds. It went from minus 125 to minus 190, but can't wait to hear what TG mentions about that.
Okay, Mr. Passive, we'll talk to you in the next hour. We'll see you then. Yeah. There he goes. Get the heck out of here. We're coming back with coaching news here on the Lombardi Line, then the mayor. It is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.